Well, pinag-aralan natin ay ang istorya ng Reformation in France. And we said na hindi masyadong nag-prosper ang Reformation sa France, and one of the reasons was because of very cruel persecution, unlike sa ibang bansa na nagumpay ang Reformation, like Germany, Switzerland, Geneva. Dito sa France, nasupil yung Reformation because hindi nangimi na mag-usig yung mga nasa panunungkulan, lalo na yung royalty. So that was the reason. There was persecution, but because of that, tinignan natin nung nakaraan bakit nagkaroon ng persecution. Well, unang-una na ay nandoon yung royalty ay naging masyadong malapit sa Papa, and the Pope at that time was very hostile to the Protestants because bago pala nung yung Protestant Reformation, and the Pope was protecting, the papacy was protecting its power in Rome, kaya hindi naging maganda yung pagtingin sa Protestant Reformation at that time. Malapit ang papacy doon sa royalty ng France, and because of that there was na persuade itong royalty ng France to persecute the Protestants. Not only that, to be fair, I said na there was also imprudent provocation on the part of the Protestants. Kumbaga, naudyukan yung pag-uusig sa kanila dahil din sa hindi nila marunong na mga aksyon, especially yung tinawag na affair of the placards, kung saan nagkalat sila sa Paris at ibang mga syudad na mga posters na inaatake ang misa at iba pang mga gawaing sakramento ng iglesia. At lagi ko sinasabi, hindi natin dapat ginagawa ang gayon. Hindi tayo naghihikayat sa paraan ng panghahamak. We must never persuade by way of contempt. That is not the option for the church. That is not evangelism. And in this sense, the Protestants were foolish and imprudent in what they did. So yun ang nangyari, kaya nagkaroon ng persecution. But the worst persecution was what happened on just 2 days. August 24 and 25 of 1572. At kaya ito nabigyan ng ganitong katawagan because in the calendar of the church, August 24 happened to be St. Bartholomew's Day. We're not observing that at all. But because that was what history has dubbed this day, ito ang itatawag na rin natin, the so-called St. Bartholomew's Massacre that happened on St. Bartholomew's Day. That's August 24, 1572. Sinabi ko 450th year, that should be 1562, but that's because yung main background sa pangyayari ng 1572 ay yung nangyari nung 1562. So nakita natin ito sa Massacre of Vassy. Nangyari sa 1562, ang main antagonist dito ay si François, or sa anglicized form ay Francis, but in French, François Duguis. Siya yung namumuno sa ilang tropa, and they chance upon a group of Huguenots who were worshiping in a forest. Ang ginawa nila ay inatake nila yung mga worshippers na yon, and 63 were dead. That's the Massacre of Vassy that happened in 1562, which serves as the main background to what happened in 1572. So yan yung nangyari dyan. The background to that to the massacre that happened in 1572 happened 10 years earlier in the Massacre of Vassy, which was perpetrated by François Duguis. Ang nangyari dito kay François Duguis ay 1563, he was assassinated. Now again, I don't in any way support actions in the name of religion in killing anyone, whether Catholics or Protestants. Pero makikita natin na yung provocation na nangyari sa Massacre of Vassy led to a series of wars of religion, at isa na rito sa 1563, itong si François Duguis ay na-assassinate. At ang hinala na may kagawa nito o yung may pakana nito ay yung leader ng mga Huguenot na si Gaspar de Coligny. Now, ang namumuno noon, the regent, ang hari ay Charles IX, pero si Charles IX ay bata pa, kaya ang tinatawag na talagang the power behind the king ay yung kanyang nanay, yan si Catherine de Medici, an Italian. At yung de Medici clan ay kilalang kilala sa Europa nung panahong ito na malakas, may impluensya. In fact, the Pope then, Pope Clement VII, was a de Medici. Kaya eto ngayon si Catherine de Medici. So, siya yung namumuno at pinaghinalaan niya kasi malapit niyang kaibigan, itong si the Guise. Ang pinaghinalaan niya na may kagagawan ay yung leader ng mga Huguenot na si Gaspar de Coligny. So yan si Gaspar de Coligny, a Huguenot nobility and the main suspect of the Medici sa assassination ni François de Guise. However, the problem here was that Gaspar de Coligny was a trusted advisor of King Charles IX. So itong parang nagkaroon ng triangle dito. Charles IX, the king, pero ang the real power ay de Medici. So ito si Charles IX. As you can see, halos boy king pa lang yan. Pero at least he is the king. Ang advisor niya, yung kaninang si de Coligny, si de Medici, yung nanay, galit sa mga Huguenot. At ang main suspect niya ay ito namang advisor ni Charles IX. Kaya medyo nagkumplika rito. De Medici was fearing the influence being exerted by Gaspar de Coligny on his son, King Charles IX. So, yan yung pangyayari. Therefore, she hatched a plot. Itong si De Medici. Gumawa siya ng plot, ng plano with some of the nobles of the House of Guise. Tanda natin, na-assassinate si de Guise na kabilang sa de Guise family. Ngayon, nagpaplano sila. Ang utak ay si Catherine de Medici. She approved a plot hatched by the House of Guise to assassinate Coligny, the leader of the Huguenots. So, makikita natin dito, behind the religious rationale, yung religion ang ginagamit, Protestants versus Catholics or Catholics versus Protestants, yet really behind these plots and intrigues, political power. Pinaglalaban talaga ni de Medici ay yung political power niya, takot siya kay de Coligny na nagkakaroon ng impluensya sa kanyang anak na Charles IX. So gumawa siya ng plot para i-assassinate itong si de Coligny. So behind all the religious rationale, there's still the motive of political power. Talagang hindi nawawala yun. Yung panatilihin mo ang kapangyarihan sa politika, sa impluensya ng lipunan, madalas yan yung motibo sa lahat ng mga bagay na ito. So yan ang background sa pangyayari na mapupunta sa the massacre of the Huguenots. Now, one step that they tried to do was to placate both sides. So ang nangyari ay they attempted an intermarriage between a Catholic sister ng hari, si Margaret de Valois. He was then married to a Huguenot, Henry of Navarre. Henry of Navarre will be the future Henry IV, King of France. Pero sa future pa yan. At this point, he is a royalty but not yet a king. So, Henry Navarre was a Huguenot. Margaret de Valois was a Catholic. And they attempted an intermarriage para mabawasan yung sigalot. Again, we don't agree. We don't agree with intermarriage that is not of the right faith. Nonetheless, the reason behind that was political. Let us ease the tension, they said. So let's intermarry itong dalawang kinikilalang mga lider ng magkabilang partido, Margaret de Valois, a Catholic, Henry of Navarre, a Huguenot. So on the day of the wedding, malaking kasalan ito, royal wedding ito, Nakapanood tayo minsan ng recent na royal wedding of the future king of England, William, and Catherine. Malaking wedding, pag-royal wedding talaga. Ganito ang royal wedding between Henry and Margaret. So, because both represented the two parties that were in conflict, Huguenots and Catholics, both sides were well represented doon sa wedding. So, dumalo sa kasalan, pareho mga Katoliko, mga Protestante, mga Huguenots, lahat ay well represented during the wedding. But on August 22, remember, there was a plot hatched by the Medici to assassinate De Coligny. Ito na yung pagkakataon. Gaganti na sila. The House of the Guise ay gaganti sa kanilang suspect na dahilan ng pagpatay kay François de Guise. So, nangyari, an assassination was attempted, but it failed. Nasugatan si De Coligny, pero hindi namatay. Naitaka siya. Naggalit ngayon ang mga Huguenots. So, they were still there days after the wedding. They were still there in Paris. At lalong lumala ang tensyon. The tension was at its highest point because of the attempt on the life of a Huguenot leader, De Coligny. So, pumayag ang hari, King Charles IX, na mag-imbestiga. So, yung king nang gumawa ng initiative to have this investigated. So, what happened? When an investigation was assassinated by no less than the king himself, Catherine de' Medici panicked. Ano kaya itsura niya pag nag-panic? Ayan, isa sa mga image. Merong website sa internet na it will give you thousands of images of any person who is a celebrity or a historical figure. It will give you thousands of images. Isa yan sa images ni de Medici. So, siguro nagpa-panic na siya. Lalo na to siguro, talagang panic na. So, what happened? Because de Medici panicked. So, in Tuileries Palace, she plotted with Catholic nobles the extermination of the Huguenots. So this is now what happened. Yan ang massacre day. Again, you can download this on the internet. Ito yung mga paintings ng mga well-known artists of that period. So they have some ideas. They saw what happened and they have some ideas. So dito sinasalakay na ang mga Huguenots. The Huguenots were not prepared. They went there for the wedding. Siyempre, hindi naman yan mag-aarmas. Kung pupunta ka sa wedding, so they were unarmed. And when the Medici panicked, so nagsimula na yung mga massacres sa mga Huguenots. This is a fresco. A fresco is a wall painting. So, ang makikita nyo riyan ay yung pag-atake sa mga Huguenots. This is the Seine River. It was said that during the attack, this river was full of bodies by Huguenots who were killed. The Huguenots in another painting are here grieving and trying to hide. And then on the other hand, here is Catherine de' Medici staring, I'm sure gleefully, at the dead bodies of the Huguenots. There is one eyewitness report, a diplomatic report by the Genevan ambassador in Paris, kung ano nangyayari. And this is what he reported. The whole of France is bathed in the blood of innocent people and covered with dead bodies. The air is filled with the cries and groans of nobles and commoners, women and children, slaughtered by the hundreds without mercy. So that's just one eyewitness account. There are many of such eyewitness accounts But ito yung pinaka masasabi nating objective because this is the report of an ambassador. Siyempre, magsasabi yan, wala siyang kinakatigan. Nag-report siya sa kanyang bansa, sa Geneva. At ito yung na-file na report. So it says, many bodies slaughtered hundreds. So this is the worst religious massacre on any given day in the history of the church. Members of the Paris municipality were also called to the Louvre at binigyan ng order. So hindi lang to yung mga soldiers, kundi yung mismo mga citizens ay nakiisa. And on August 24, upon the given signal by a church bell, when it tolled, the massacre began. And one of the first victims, in fact, was De Coligny. He was killed under the supervision of Henry de Guise, one of the descendants of François de Guise. The homes and shops of the Huguenots were pillaged, all occupants martyred. Bloodshed spread to other places. So not only in Paris, but in other major places, many bodies were thrown into the Seine River. Now in Paris alone, the best estimate is that the casualty was at 3,000. Paris alone. Now, multiply that several times in other places where there would be much less reporting dahil hindi sila represented ng mga embassies. In Paris, the report was 3,000. Imagine how many that would be when multiplied many times over in other places. So, it could be in the tens of thousands. And what happened then, when news of the report came to the Catholic leaders, remember King Philip II, King of Spain, a Catholic country, and the man after whom we are named, Philippines. Siya yung nagbigay ng license kay Magellan para to explore, and then later on kay sa ipapang explorer na binigyan ng pangalang Philippines ang ating bansa after King Philip II, it was said that the news of the massacre was hailed by Philip II of Spain, and then Pope Gregory the 13th celebrated after he heard of the news of the massacre of the Protestants. Now, wag yung kamuhian yan. Every time you look at the calendar, you are using something of Gregory's accomplishment, the Gregorian calendar, na itinama yung ating calendar. Before Gregory the 13th, ang gamit ay the Julian calendar, which by the time of the 16th century, ay mali na, hindi na accurate. Dahil hindi na itama yung leap year, pagkaraan ng halos 1,000 taon, ay hindi na eksakto. So Gregory the 13th commissioned a group to correct the calendar, and the calendar we are using now is the Gregorian calendar. Kaya yan siya. He celebrated upon the news of the massacre in Paris. So the aftermath of the massacre, instead of crippling the Huguenots as Catherine had hoped, the massacre further polarized the religious parties and provoked renewal of hostilities. Lalong umigting yung tensyon at yung alitan, and it led to the justification of militant rebellion against the tyranny of government. It is no surprise that in history, the major revolution that would have an influence on the history of the world happened in 1789, the French Revolution. Na-impluensya niyan ang iba pang mga pangyayari. And it all happened here. It all began here. But the lessons we need to learn, first, persecuting and killing on religious ground is an act of fanaticism. On whatever side, let me make myself clear. Sinabi ng Panginoon, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. So here is killing on religious ground, and it is not acceptable. Whoever perpetrates it, whether Catholics against Protestants, Protestants against Catholics, this is not right. This is fanaticism of the worst kind. Kaya hindi tayo gagamit ng anumang mga paraan ng pagkakalat ng pananampalataya sa paraan ng pananakot o sa paraan ng pamumuwersa. Ito po ang gusto kong linawin. Ang pananampalataya sa Panginoong Hesukristo para sa kaligtasan ay voluntaryo. Hindi ito persado, hindi ito minamana, hindi ito by way of external manipulation. It must be voluntary faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Any act of persecution or killing in the name of God is fanatical. It is wrong, whoever perpetrates it. We believe in the liberty of conscience with freedom of religion. This is a fundamental right. Matthew 23, you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. Now, this is not rejecting religious leadership. This is not rejecting teachers in the church. Ang sinasabi yung ultimate, the ultimate teacher, the ultimate deciding factor why we adopt a particular belief, yung pinaka-ultimong dahilan. Kung tayo ay may paniniwalaan, ay dahil naniniwala tayong ito ang itinuturo ng salita ng Diyos. Hindi dahil sa meron tayong blind loyalty to any human teacher. Hindi po ganun. So, liberty of conscience, and liberty of conscience includes freedom of religion. This is a fundamental right. Tapos na itong mga panahon ng mga digmaan ng dahil sa relihiyon. Wala na yan dapat, pero nakalulungkot, may mga lipunan pa rin na sapilitan, persahan, at may katapat na parusa kapag ikaw ay nag-adopt ng particular faith or belief. At sana'y mawala na yan sa ating mundo. Naniniwala tayong mas may kakayahan tayong manghikayat kung may kalayaan ng relihiyon, not by force. But the last lesson here is that Christian faithfulness includes the readiness to die for Christ. In many of these cases, they were given time to recant. And many did. Yung the days in the aftermath of the massacre, many of the Huguenots, many of those who professed to be Huguenots, changed their status because they were under persecution. But thousands preferred to die. That's the point. And that is part of true faithfulness. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Sinusugo rito sa konteksto ng Panginoon ang kanyang mga alagad, at sa pagsugo niya sa kanila, binalaan sila na kayo'y uusigin and some of you will be killed. But even if that happens, faithfulness means you are ready to die for Christ. And also Hebrews 12, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. The point is that this is part of true Christian faithfulness. If blood needs to be shed, then we should be willing to have it shed. We are fortunate na we are now in a society that is free. And freedom of religion is enshrined in our law, iginagalang, at may protection ng batas na tayo ay may kalayaan sa ating relihiyon. Pero ano kaya kung nalagay tayo sa sitwasyon ng pag-uusig? Kasama kaya tayo doon sa tatalikod o magiging handa na mamatay? So we are grateful for freedom, but Christians are still called to suffer for Christ. That is part of our calling. And let the experience of the Huguenots on this fateful day of August 24, 1572 be a challenge na kung ganito tayo tawagin, sana ay handa tayo para sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Hindi ba yun ang ating inawit kanina? Kaya pinili ko itong matagal na nating hindi inawit na King of my life. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for Thee, even Thy cup of grief to share. Thou was born all for me. So let us not forget Gethsemane, Calvary, and in the process, be willing, if need be, to pay the ultimate sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. The top of the handout is a verse from 1 Peter 3:14. Pakibasa nga sa French. Because this is how the Huguenots will read this.
1 Peter 3:14. Heureux des lieux quand vous souffrirez pour la justice. N'ayez d'aucune crainte et ne soyez pas troublés.
Merci, Mademoiselle Ule. Yun lang alam ko eh. In English, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Any question? Or anything you'd like to share? Questions? Jean?
Pastor, observation ko dun sa position nitong mga Huguenots and comparison to the previous group that we studied,
Puritans.
The Puritans, na in power kasi itong mga to, Huguenots, was it a disadvantage? Had it become a disadvantage on their part? Kasi ang tendency nga is to resist by force.
Well, that is a correct observation. Unlike the Puritans who were out of power, the Huguenots, many of them were in the nobility. Many of them were members of parliament. At dahil nasa kapangyarihan sila, the tendency was to use that power to resist. The power, in fact, they considered it a duty to resist the advance of the Catholics and the persecution of the Catholics by using arms. So, and I will maintain my position based on what Jesus said to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have fought. The implication is, the kingdom of Christ is of such nature that we do not use arms to advance it. And yun ang mali ng mga Huguenots, but let us be sympathetic to their plight, na yun ang akala nila, na tungkulin nila, na gawin. So they were acting according to their conscience, but we should grow from that. Tito Ay.
It appears that the persecution here is between churches, and Catholic Church appears to be the villain and the Protestants appears to be the martyrs. Now, during this history, we know that there is no separation between the church and the state. Could it be that here, like for example, Henry II, he issued the edict of the Chateau Briand, directing civil and church courts. In short, the government has some, shall say, power over the churches. Could it be that the massacre being done against those that are using the power of the church in enforcing discipline to the society? Were there no, like for instance, it says here, they are using troops to massacre people who are against, spreading heresies. So in short, this is sanctioned by the government. Was there no freedom of religion? Was there law to enforce this massacre so that they are going to perpetuate the existence of the government?
Okay, salamat po. And that is a true observation. There was no separation of church and state then. It will not happen until 1776 with the U.S. Constitution and the adoption of Amendment Number 1 ng kanilang constitution, which mandates the separation of church and state, as campaigned for by the Baptists of America. So But at this time, itong pinag-aaralan nating panahon, wala pa po yung separation of church and state. And what happened was the religion adopted by the state, meaning the state religion, the state church, would have power over its citizens to enforce the religion which it believed should be the state religion. So in the case of France, that will be the Catholic Church. And as a matter of fact, we saw last week na Francois the First, yung nauna kay King Charles the Ninth, and then the one who followed him, Henry the Second, all ordered the Catholic Church and the church courts to persecute yung Huguenots. Kaya yun po ang nangyari noon. Kaya ang isang matutunan natin dito ay yung mapalad tayo sa providensya ng Diyos, that in God's providence we are now on that side of history when the separation of church and state is now a fundamental right in Western democracies at napabilang tayo roon. Jean.
Pastor, based on the notes, si Henry of Navarre was not killed during the massacre and naging siyang future king. When he became the king, was he vindictive?
Yan ang pag-aaralan natin next. Isa sa mga pag-aaralan natin kay Henry of Navarre, he could not be king unless he adopted the Catholic faith. At first, he resisted hard, but then he thought of the pragmatic interest of the Huguenots, and at one point, he adopted the Catholic faith, but while king, he advanced the interests of the Huguenots. Now, whether that was the correct move, i-discuss natin next Sunday. But Henry of Navarre was spared. After all, siya yung ikinasal, kaya nagpunta rin yung mga Catholics and Huguenots, was the wedding of Duvalois and Henry of Navarre. But when it came for Henry of Navarre to become king, this was the precondition. And he thought that the pragmatic way was to adopt the Catholic faith yet advance the Huguenots' interest. Ian.
Pastor, the massacre happened just days after the wedding. So, yung po bang wedding ay part ng plot na ginawa ng House of Guys to assassinate si Coligny?
Yes. Yun ang background ng plot. Doon darating si De Coligny. Siyempre, si De Coligny being a noble, we could expect that he would be secured. But because it was a wedding, everybody was unguarded. After all, lando sila para sa kasayahan na sinamantala ni De Medici. Go ahead.
Tanong ko lang po kung at this point of time, nasaan po si Calvin during this period?
Well, at this time, 1534 pa lang nung ay tumakas na siya because nagsimula na yung mga persecution. So he had to flee, and by 1564, so wala na siya noong 1572. 1562, andun pa siya nung nangyari yung massacre of Vassy, but at that time, he was already in Geneva. He was already dead by 1564. Mikaya.
Problema rin po yung between Catholics and Protestants. Tapos, si King Edward, yung king na bata, siya ay Protestant po, di ba? Pero na-influence siya ng mga advisors, tsaka yung isa niyang kapatid na Catholic. So, para dito po sa case naman ni King Charles IX, na sabi niyo ay greatly influence siya ng nanay niya to the point na napa-agree niya sa plot.
Charles IX po ay personally, anong inclination niya? Protestant or Catholic? Charles IX was Catholic. You cannot be king of France unless you are Catholic. Kaya nga yan ang magiging dilema sa susunod nating lesson, yung magiging dilema ni Henry of Navarre. King Charles IX was Catholic, yet he had Huguenot advisors, especially De Coligny. Now, yung sa England, yes, nagkaroon ng palitan din dyan. Henry VIII ay inadapt niya, nag-independent siya sa Catholic Church kasi ayaw suportahan yung kanyang pag-aasawa kay Anne Boleyn. Gusto niyang i-divorce si Catherine of Aragon. Pero hindi siya pinapayagan ng Papa kasi si Catherine of Aragon ay kamag-anak ng hari ng Espanya. Kailangan ng Papa yung suporta ng Espanya. So, hindi niya pinayagan. Nainis tong si Henry VIII. So, 1534, inadopt niya yung Act of Supremacy, meaning the Church of England, by that time, is no longer under Rome. Pero, for all intended purposes, Henry VIII was still Catholic sa kanyang paniniwala at practices. Pero nung namatay siya, ang pumalit ay Protestant Edward. But Edward was a sickly child. And he died 1553. When he died, the legitimate heir was Mary the First, Mary Tudor. And Mary was Catholic. Not only that, the daughter of Catherine of Aragon. So anong palagay yung pakiramdam ng babaeng ito na inapi yung kanyang nanay. Ngayon siya na ang reyna. And she used the years of her reign to really institute a bloodbath against Protestants. That's why she is called in history Bloody Mary. Mabuti na lang, 1553, namatay naman siya agad ng 1558, and from 1558 to 1603, Elizabeth I, who was Protestant. Pero sa ating, hindi natin kailangan na yung presidente ay Catholic or Protestant, we just want the president to be good and competent. And he has nothing to do with the advance of religion. Ike Jr. Then,
Pastor, yung, di ba si Ticolini lang ang parang target nila dahil siya yung allegedly the mastermind of assassination of the Guise?
Yes.
Why exterminate thousands of Huguenots? Pwede naman patayin lang sana si...
dahil nga nag-investigate na itong si Charles the Ninth in order to placate the Huguenots who were... Kasi may initial attempt kay De Coligny na pumalya. Ngayon, naging very tense ang situation. Nagpanik naman si De Medici sa kanya mabubunto ng sisi. And she thought, in her way of thinking anyway, that the only way to remove all traces to her is ubusin ang mga Huguenots. Yun ang ginawa. So talagang that was a very cruel decision on her part. Tito Ay.
The challenge here is to stand by the word meekly but firmly when confronted with persecution. I think religious persecution because of the separation of the church and the state and the religious freedom, I think religious persecution is the thing in the past. While there are still some sorts of conflicts on religious doctrine, like for instance, the Catholics are condemning a picture wherein a tourist had her picture taken with the cross. And some Catholics say it is tantamount to blasphemy or it is an insult. But then the church could not persecute, or shall we say, they could not enforce or they could not invoke the right or the force of the government to condemn this, shall we say, violation of the doctrine. Another thing is, the case of students in a Catholic school who were forbidden to march in the graduation rites because they have their picture in bikini in the Facebook and they were drinking and with cigarettes. Despite the fact that the parents went to the court to compel or to ask for a PRO so that their children could march during the graduation, the school, the Catholic school, defied the PRO. Now, in short, these religious beliefs, which is being given as freedom by the states, I think there is no such now as persecution of some. Also, but the greater war that we have now is between the Muslim and the Christians. Although we are going forward for reconciliation, like conversion of Christians to Muslims, like the famous actor Ruben Padilla, being a Christian and converted to Muslim, and vice versa. So I think religious persecution or the massacre, I would say that it is now, thank God, it's now a thing in the past.
Well, not in our country, fortunately, and we are the better for it as a society. But first, dun sa kaso pong binanggit nyo, yung nag-post ng picture sa cross, I do not support that at all. That is wrong. Hindi dapat lapastanganin yung religious symbols ng ibang relihiyon. Bagamat hindi man tayo sumasang-ayon doon, I do not support any acts of violation of the rights of other religions to worship their God the way they believe he should be worshipped. As to the nag-post ng sexy pictures on Facebook, I believe also in the right of an institution which is sectarian. Ibig sabihin, hindi naman nila itinago yung kanilang sectarian nature ng school. Igagalang ko rin yung karapatan na yun. Again, I believe that the only way to advance the kingdom of Christ is through persuasion. And persuasion should never use contempt. Kung gumamit ka ng contempt, may kasabihan na a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Ibig sabihin, napipilan mo siya sa galing mo magdebate, hindi siya makasagot, na-persuade ba siya? Hindi. And we want to persuade, meaning bring him to a change of belief, which is voluntary, not by way of contempt or defiance of the religion. So, yun ang dalawa yung lagi kong iniisip pagdating sa persuasion. Yun ang una, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Yung ikalawa ay, in an argument, the first one to shout is the first one to run out of arguments. So, wag mo sigawan, makipagmalumanay kang makipaghikayatan. Patrick.
Regarding po sa persecution, ano po yung pwedeng advice or pwedeng gawin ng isang tao na very new pa lang sa dun sa bago pa lang na-introduce sa kanya yung Protestant faith, almost, wala pa siya dun sa stage na naiintindihan na niya, pero yung Catholic parents niya ay against dun sa idea na nagsisik siya outside the Catholic faith. Tapos, sinasabihan siya na mag-stop.
Well, it's a complicated situation dahil gusto natin igalang ang parents, especially kung yung anak ay minor, may karapatan yung parents doon. But at the same time, there is a point when a person becomes persuaded of his faith and is willing to take a step of conscience, well, at a certain point, he will have to defy a legitimate authority in order to be honest to his conscience. No, ayaw natin mangyari yun, kaya ginagawa rin natin ang lahat na magagawa para pagkasunduin. Diba, ganyan yung ginawa namin noon kay Nestor. Bata pa siya, minor pa, I believe, and yet kumbinsido ng gospel, bagong-bago pa lang iglar, bagong-bagong pa lang ang pastor noon. Nung ayaw talaga pumayag ng tatay niya, buong tapang namin hinarap yung tatay niya. Na napakatapang pala. Pero he made a step of conscience and the church supported him in that step. Pero without exhausting, only by exhausting all the efforts to reconcile. Nung hindi na ma-reconcile, that's when an act of conscience can be necessary. So hindi ko i-advise sino man na basta na lang lapastanganin ng parents, lapastanganin yung kanilang relihiyon. May mga alam akong kaso na na-convert pag uwi ng bahay ay sinira, he smashed the images. Napakamaling gawain yun. Be very respectful of your parents, and at the same time, at a certain point, after exhausting all reconciliatory possibilities, at a certain point, step on an act of conscience. And the last point. Myla.
Dalong bagay, Pastor. Yung una po ay, I'm very excited para sa next Sunday kasi ay bilang magulang noon tsaka date ulit sa mga nangyayari around. Iisip ko din kung ano kaya ang gagawin ko.
Yes, exactly. One of those who fled, as we already know, is John Calvin. He was a genius. Nanawala sa France. There was Mornay, one of the best poets of history. Nag-flee din siya because of the persecution in France. So may mga maraming ganitong kasong tumaka sa France because of the persecution, and France was the loser for it. Persecution is always a losing cause. It will never gain for the persecutor. Kaya isang bagay ito na iwaksin natin. Now, as to the hypothesis, kung tayo ang ma-persecute, pwede ba ang option na sinabi ni Myla na magkunwari muna for the sake of the children and other reasons? Yan ang hinarap ng The Great Ejection. Remember, last month, may mga Puritans noon na inisip na pumirma na lang pero not meaning to. You go back to Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. Mag-gymnastics na lang tayo rito. Bow down sa image, pero we don't mean it. But you're showing to the world that you're bowing down. And I believe that is not an option. Follow up or other last thoughts? Papu, Tito Ay.
I had written a very good quotation that you have uttered, which I could use in conducting meetings, which is here: during discussion, a person who shouts is one who runs out of argument. Thank you for that, Pastor. I will remember that.
Thank you. Papu?
Nakita po natin na ang dahilan ay dahil sa religious fanaticism po, kaya nagkaroon ng persecution. Ngayon, nung sa February 25 po sa unang Itza Revolution, sa panawagan lang ni Jaime Cardinal Sin ay pumunta lahat ng Katoliko, pumunta ang mga Katoliko sa kalsada. Wag naman po sana mangyari, pero may posibilidad po kaya na may kapangyarihan ng Papa na sa kabulagan ng mga Katoliko ay pwede niyang gamitin ang kanyang kapangyarihan upang mag-persecute ng mga Kristiyano.
Well, una, dun sa February 25, may mga nagpunta sa amin doon na hindi dahil nanawagan si Cardinal Sin. Nagpunta kami roon sa paniniwala na nawala na ang lehitimong panunungkulan kay Presidente Marcos, at naniniwala kami na si Cory Aquino ang dapat na manungkulan. So it was, we were not there because of the call of Cardinal Sin. On the other hand, yung hypothesis mo ay kung magkaroon ng Pope ng ganung power, yun ba? Pakiulit yung last part, Papu.
Kung sa palagay niyo po ba may influensya pa rin ang Papa na pwedeng hikayatin ang mga Katoliko na i-persecute ang hindi nila kapananampalataya sa panahon natin ngayon?
Well, una, I'm firmly convinced that I just taught Roman Catholicism for 1 year in seminary. And from my reading of their history as well as their present position as adopted in the Vatican II, hindi na mangyayari yun. They are past the history of persecution. They were persecutors before, no longer so. So I don't believe that that will ever happen again. But if it comes to the point where not the Pope but some other reasons, halimbawa, nanungkulan ang magkaroon ng Islamic State dito sa Pilipinas, God forbid, but if it happens na magkaroon ng ganong persahan na you recant or you suffer, well, sana maalala nyo yung March-April Sunday School dito sa Grace Baptist Church, the great ejection and the massacre of the Huguenots to tell you what stand to take. Mary?
Pastor, gusto ko lang po itanong anong massacre na nangyari. Bali, di ba yung massacre na yun ay ang king na yung si yung King Knights, ang likod noon ay yung kanyang mother. Hindi ba siya aware doon? Kasi di ba sabi mo nga kanina, siya yung may plot noong massacre na yon. So nung time na yon ba, hindi ba aware si yung kanyang anak na king about doon sa magiging plot?
Diba, nandiyan sa inyong note, Charles the Ninth was, she persuaded her son, King Charles the Ninth, to approve of the scheme. Eh, again, tandaan natin, napaka-strong personality nitong si Catherine de' Medici, at yung kanyang anak ay sunod-sunuran sa kanya, at napasunod niya. In fact, during this period, one of the posters na ipininta ay si Charles the Ninth ay puppet ni Catherine de' Medici, and that was really the case. He was just a puppet of his mother. Which again brings us to the point na kung merong ganyan, will we be ready to take a stand? Whether ejection or persecution, halimbawa hamunin ang pananampalataya mo, sabihin niyang pag magpatuloy ka rin, ikukulong kita. Kahit na, ikinulong nga. Ikaw naman hindi na mabiro. Pero sana ang ating posisyon ay yung tanggapin natin alang-alang sa Panginoon. And to think what we need to suffer is very little. When I read all these stories and I compare what we Christians in a free society are going through, mabigat sa kalooban kapag makita mong dahil sa kaunting hirap ay ayaw nang magpatuloy ng ibang Kristiyano, o kaya Kristiyano lamang kung magaang ang mga kalagayan. Sana hindi ganun. The reality of our faith is tested in its genuineness in the time when we have to sacrifice. Meron pa? So, sa time natin, what is the sacrifice you are asked to offer? Everyone, every Christian, I should say, every Christian has one, at least. What is the sacrifice that the Lord is asking of you to give in order to be faithful to Him? Let us pray. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami maging sa malagim na araw ng kasaysayan sa St. Bartholomew's Massacre of the Huguenots. Sana, Panginoon, ay maging hamon naman sa amin ang kanilang katapatan na sa kabila ng hinarap nilang pag-uusig, kasama na ang ultimong sakripisyo ng kanilang buhay, ay mas minabuti nilang humakbang sa kanilang, ng ayon sa kanilang konsensya. At nawa ang ganitong pangyayari ay magpanariwa sa amin na kami man sa aming panahon ay tinatawag mo sa ilang sakripisyo alang-alang sa aming Panginoong Heso Kristo. At kung tutuusin, ang mga sakripisyong ito ay magaang lamang kung ihahambing sa mga sakripisyong pinagdaanan ng mga nakalipas na mananampalataya. May the events that we have studied today, gloomy as that event may it be a challenge to our faith, that we may be those who today are willing to offer a sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.